Grace, peace, and mercy to you from him who was, who is, and who is yet to come, Christ the living Lord. Amen. Growing up, my mom was always the cook in the house, but it was my dad who was the one that shared his love of sandwiches. He had one favorite sandwich that he always made for me and my two brothers. My dad grew up in the South, and his go-to sandwich was a peanut butter, banana, and mayonnaise sandwich. I never questioned this combination until I got married, and I made this sandwich for my husband, and he kind of gave me the side eye, like, what is this? And then, whenever we had kids, and I offered the same sandwich to them, they replied, ew, are you crazy? I'm not eating that. Apparently, my childhood sandwich of peanut butter, banana, and mayonnaise was just plain weird and crazy to my kids in today's time. You might be wondering, why in the world am I talking about sandwiches and crazy ones no less? Well, the gospel text from Mark that we just heard is considered an intercalation. Or in simplistic terms, friends, today we have ourselves a Markan sandwich. The sandwich structure is important. I mean, obviously I've framed my entire sermon around sandwiches. But in today's gospel, we can take a lesson from the words on family, and we can also take a lesson from Jesus' words about Satan. But I think Mark's intent is to be found in the relationship between the two. And just as my dad's sandwich seemed odd to some, Jesus' message and actions often seemed radical and crazy to those around him. So let's break this sandwich down into bite-sized pieces and look at it more closely together. Our sandwich starts and ends with the crowd and Jesus' family. The crowd is so large and demanding that Jesus and his disciples can't even eat. His family hears about this and comes to restrain him, thinking he has gone a little delulu and is out of his mind. To them, Jesus' actions are bizarre, and there's a lot of commotion that's being generated around him. The crowd is pressing in on Jesus, desperate to hear his teachings, to witness his miracles, and to be healed themselves. The situation has become chaotic, with people from all over gathering to see the man who speaks with such authority and performs miraculous deeds. In the midst of this, his family is concerned. They believe that Jesus has taken things too far and that he might be endangering himself and others. Their intention to restrain him is likely out of love and a desire to protect him, but it also shows a lack of trust and understanding in his mission. This reflects how even those closest to us might misunderstand our commitment to God's mission. As if familial concern wasn't enough, Jesus also faced accusations from religious authorities. The next part of our sandwich is the encounter with the scribes. The scribes accused Jesus of being possessed by Satan, saying he casts out demons by the power of the prince of demons. Jesus responds with the parable, which I love because it really engages us to discern what he is actually saying, and it emphasizes that a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. He explains that his power comes from binding the strong man, Satan, and freeing people from his grasp. I think Martin Luther beautifully illustrates this concept, where he compares Satan to a bad dog on a chain. Luther said, "Why should you fear? Why should you be afraid? Do you not know that the prince of this world has been judged? He is no lord, no prince anymore. You have a different, a stronger Lord, Christ, who has overcome and bound him. Therefore, let the prince and God of the world look sour, bare his teeth, make a great noise, threaten, and act in unmannerly ways. He can do no more than a bad dog on a chain, which may bark, run here and there, but he cannot tear the chain. Because it is tied and you avoid it, it cannot bite you. By tying up the strong man, Jesus demonstrates his authority over Satan and his evil works. He reassures us that Satan's power is limited and that we can face the world's evil without fear. This statement is powerful and one of hope, especially in a world where evil and division can seem overwhelming. Jesus' words remind us that the ultimate power belongs to God. Satan, though he may bark and make noise, is restrained. The imagery of tying up the strong man illustrates that Jesus has the authority to subdue and limit the power of evil in our lives. I am reminded of the verse in Isaiah that says, "No weapon formed against you will prosper." We aren't promised that the weapon will not be formed, but we are promised that it will not prosper against us. In the final part of our sandwich today, Jesus reassures us that all sins can be forgiven, while also warning about the danger of blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. This is a call to recognize the work of the Holy Spirit and to embrace Jesus' mission with an open heart, even when it seems crazy. Over time, people have misunderstood this passage, unfortunately, believing it to mean that there is a sin too great to be forgiven, leading them to think they are not worthy of redemption. This misinterpretation has caused many to live in fear and despair, feeling like they're cut off from God's grace. However, the true message here is one of hope and reassurance. Jesus emphasizes that all sins and blasphemies can be forgiven, highlighting the boundless nature of God's mercy. The only unforgivable sin is the persistent rejection of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives, a deliberate and ongoing refusal to accept God's grace. This means that as long as we are open to God's Spirit, redemption is always within reach. We are never beyond the reach of God's forgiveness and love. This is a call to recognize the work of the Holy Spirit and to embrace Jesus' mission with an open heart, even when it seems crazy. So now that we have all of the pieces of the sandwich a little bit clarified and pulled through, let's put it together and take a bite out of the sandwich together and see what it means for us today. The radical gospel of Jesus Christ calls us to life that may seem crazy to others. We are called to love our neighbor, advocate for the outcast, and be obedient to God's command. Yes, we may face situations that feel beyond our control, whether it's personal struggles, societal injustices, or global issues. And I know firsthand that in those situations, it's easy to feel powerless and afraid and shameful in this world. But Jesus' declaration gives us a different perspective. We are not at the mercy of those forces. Jesus, through his life, death, and resurrection, has already conquered the ultimate source of evil. This doesn't mean we won't face challenges, but it does mean that we face them with the assurance and hope in knowing that Jesus has the final victory. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ emphasizes how dangerous it appears when holiness shows itself to be unbound and uninterested in conforming to the way things presumably have to be or should be, and how liberating it is when people are set free from fear. This is the good news we embrace and proclaim as Christians. Throughout Jesus' ministry, he showed his love for people by healing them and casting out demons, even when it meant breaking societal and religious norms. Last week, we heard about Jesus healing on the Sabbath, and today we heard of him speaking up against the scribes and boldly expanding the lineage of family to include all of God's beloved people. His actions demonstrate that loving our neighbor means putting their needs above rules and traditions. Jesus reached out to those marginalized by society, the sick, the possessed, the sinners. By healing and forgiving them, he showed that everyone is worthy of God's love and redemption. Jesus' mission included advocating for those whom society had cast out. Consider how Jesus interacted with the lepers and the tax collectors. He did not shy away from them, but instead welcomed them, healed them, loved them, and included them in his ministry. For us, following his example means standing up for justice and inclusion. Jesus obeyed God's command, even when it meant facing misunderstanding and opposition from his family and the religious leaders. His commitment to God's will overrode all other concerns, further modeling for us the importance of obedience to God's command in our own lives, too. Think about the prophet Jeremiah, who continued to speak God's truth despite facing persecution and imprisonment. His obedience to God's command was unwavering, and it serves as a powerful example for us today. In addition to this radical call to discipleship, we are also reminded of the profound gifts we receive at the table of our Lord. In Holy Communion, we partake in the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. This sacrament is a powerful reminder that all are welcome to God's table and that we are all beloved by God. Communion is not just a ritual. It's not just something we go through the motions with. It is an invitation to experience the grace and love and mercy in Christ, and to remember that no matter how broken or unworthy or shameful or naked that we may feel, we are invited to share in this holy meal together. Moreover, the gifts of holy baptism are equally profound. Through baptism, Christ's Spirit comes to us, marking us as God's own and initiating us into the community of believers. Baptism is not a one-time event, but a lifelong journey. Each day we are invited to take off the old self, characterized by sin, and put on the new self, renewed by the waters of holy baptism. Every day is an opportunity to start anew, to live in the grace and love of Christ Jesus, and to let the Holy Spirit guide our actions. Thanks be to God for that. In closing, I want to wrap up my own sandwich sermon by bringing us back to the beginning when I shared that my kids thought I was crazy for trying to feed them peanut butter and mayonnaise on sliced bread. Now, my kids might take what I call a thank you bite of the crazy sandwich I once introduced to them, but it hasn't grown on them. Now, instead, they ventured into creating sandwich concoctions of their own, adding chips, pretzels, chocolate chips, pickles. I think one of them put ice cream on a sandwich once. Essentially, you name it, and they've probably tried it. And this reminds me a lot of the kingdom of God. We are all empowered to grow and acquire our taste and spiritual gifts in God's good timing. And we are equipped by the power of the Holy Spirit to add our own pizzazz, flair, and uniqueness to God's holy mix. What would our world be like if we embraced the uniqueness of one another? What if we leaned into the weirdness of others, got curious and real excited to meet someone right where they are? Wouldn't that be a world full of love? Where one likes peanut butter, banana, and mayonnaise sandwiches, and the other likes a good old tomato sandwich. Maybe the other likes a liver mush sandwich. And all are beloved and unique exactly as they are created. Isn't that what the gospel is all about? Just as my dad's unusual peanut butter, banana, and mayonnaise sandwich was unique yet cherished, we're all unique in God's kingdom. Embracing our differences with love and curiosity reflects the radical inclusivity of the gospel. And friends, the gospel is radical. It is crazy, and it's crazy good. And it's a promise of truth and hope that we as Christ followers live and breathe by. Jesus hasn't gone out of his mind. He's shown us what it looks like when the mind of Christ is fully inhabited and lived on this earth. He has defeated and bound Satan and invites us to renew our minds so that we too may acquire more of Christ's wild and radical love, acceptance, inclusivity, truth, and justice. Today and always, may we all joyfully embrace the radical love of Jesus Christ, all under one roof, one family. Jesus Christ, and when we boldly live his message in our daily lives, we begin to witness and experience and learn just what it means for Christ to love the world. Christ invites us and all who are obedient to God's will into family as his sisters, brothers, mothers, and friends. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Gracious and holy God, thank you for Jesus' life, death, and resurrecting victory over sin and Satan. Thank you for your expansiveness and for teaching us how to include all of our neighbors so that we may all become one family in Christ. Help us to continually open our hearts to you, to continually repent and turn away from our sin, so that we may grow more closely with you in relationship. Give us the strength and the courage to join Jesus in his mission, to speak love against evil, and to spread your unconditional and radical good news throughout the world. May we do all this with joy and confidence, knowing that Jesus has already secured the victory. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.